29 minutes to 10 o'clock. Good morning, and how are you on this fabulous, fabulous Friday? You're with Nikki Seberini in your element, and you're about to be in your element. We have self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio, so I suggest you quickly start SMSing your birth dates to 34519. Better still, call us directly in the studio, and Bev will take your birth date first, 0861 242436. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Nikki.
How are you, darling?
Very good.
And a happy birthday. I did wish you.
Thank you.
On air on Monday.
I heard so.
How has,
thank you,
you know, the first week been?
I think there's been a lot of lessons of being a 40-year-old. I feel all grown up and full of responsibility.
All in 4 days.
I know.
5 days.
It hits you.
That's incredible.
I think the exciting part is that most people say it's uphill till 40 and then downhill from there. But I figure it's downhill with speed and license.
Downhill with speed and license. Yeah. I love that. You know, you share a birth date with our film and theatre critiqueur.
Oh, really?
Zuckery Dat Wolfen.
Oh, wow.
Same
okay.
day. Same
and
day.
Ronald Reagan.
And Ronald Hay.
Yes.
Nice birth dates you share. All lovely people.
Yes.
Marvelous. So, Bev, just to give our listeners just a brief outline, those who are tuning in for the very first time, what it is that you do with numbers and how come numbers are significant. So just while Bev is just getting ready for that, SMS 3, your birthday, to 34519 or call us in the studio on 0861 242436.
Well, numbers. Numbers are so significant. It doesn't matter where you're looking. There's always a significance in numbers. If we have a baby, the first thing we want to know is what their temperature is. That's a number. The first thing we do when we measure their birth success is the Apgar scale. Those are numbers. Mm. Everywhere you look, when people send somebody off to the doctor, they want to measure all their numbers, their cholesterol number, their blood pressure number, their temperature number, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very obvious that there's a power in numbers, no question. Mm. So why would there not be a power in dates? Wouldn't make sense that there would be no power in dates. Mm-hmm. What we know from our understanding in the Jewish texts is that without question there's a power in how the astrology is set up in the world. And we know that from comments made in the Bible text, in the Torah text, by Abraham, and when he's having conversations with God and he's talking about the power of astrology, and God says there's going to be a huge nation and etc., or you're going to father a child. I'm trying to remember the conversation. And he says, no, but look, Jupiter's on the east, and when I was born, and therefore I won't be. And God in the conversation says to him, oh, is that what you feel is limiting you? Right, well, look, I'll move it to the west. There you go. Now it's in the opposite place. So do you feel happier now that you can go forth and have what I'm saying you will? So the conversation, something like that. My mind might not be as sharp as it should be right this second, but the whole point is that there's a power set up in the astrology of the world, and God set it up, the Creator set it up, the universe set it up. Whoever you want to be comfortable to believe has set up this astrology that governs the energy and potential of something when it is born, whether it is this radio station or you or your children, it makes no difference. There is an energy inherent in the thing, and it will either realize that potential or it won't realize that potential. And I suppose from a self-esteem engineering perspective, my passion is always to help people realize that potential. With numerology, people have found that there is an energetic attachment to different aspects of numbers of your birth date.
Mm-hmm.
What I could claim to do at best is use the birth date as a portal to getting information that I can't really pinpoint exactly where it comes from. And so I've called it intuitive numerology or intuitive numeric profiling. But there's certainly a truth to it. It seems that all our feedback over the last 3 years has been that it is spot on and it has a lot of value. And so the numbers help me to profile people, to help them find the gap between their greater potential and where they currently are. Okay. So we can help them live with more self-esteem and honoring themselves and reaching up higher in their capacity and their abilities.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Bev. Right, so we've got Denise on the line. Denise, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to give my birth date, the 19th of February, 1949.
Is there anything specific you want to
ask, Denise? No, I just want to know about my children and health-wise. And
do you have your children's birth dates for me, please?
Oh, not all of them, no.
Can you give me any of their birth dates?
Hold on, I can give it to you. One moment, please. The one is the... Oh, God. the 8th of November 1970.
All right.
And the one is the 6th of September 1985. And the other one is the 21st of the 3rd, 1983.
21st of the 3rd.
Yes, the 21st of March, 1983.
All right.
And the other one is the 19th of the 2nd, 1973.
19th of February.
Yeah,
same as
you.
1974. Yeah, that will make a difference. Okay, lovely.
Can I listen on the radio?
Please do.
Thank you so much, Denise. Thank you for calling.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay. So we have a whole family.
Okay, great.
So I'm just doing the numbers. The numbers as I'm going along.
So just to tell you, we have already received plenty SMSs on 34519. But as I always do say, we really want you to be calling in. We want to hear your voices. So if you call in, you go to the front of the queue, 0861 24 24 36. So that was Denise with her birth date. And she spoke about her kids. So you've got her children's birth dates as
well.
So
we have the whole family.
Okay, here
we
go, Denise.
So let's go. So I do wish I had asked if it was boy, girl, or what it is.
Okay.
But I'm just going to, you know, do the 50-50 thing, and Denise will know what I mean. It doesn't mean if I speak about someone as a boy and they're a girl person that means it's off. It doesn't mean that at all. So don't worry about that. It's just easier to speak with a gender than they, you know, or he or she the whole time. All right. So Denise herself is a deeply sensitive philosophical person who would love to just be moving all the time, but gets held back by distractions and gets held back by insecurity. And it's interesting because it's not like there's not a capacity there to be able to move forward and etc. But there's the work that needs to be done on feeling socially secure and socially equipped and capable, because she's a natural carer and she likes things to be pretty and she likes things to flow, etc. But if you don't feel secure within yourself and you battle that personal sense of strength, then those sensitivities can hold you back, right? So let's look firstly at the 19th of February baby, born in 1974, and we say, like, well, wouldn't that be exactly the same? Not at all. This is a very different kind of child who's quite certain about how they want things and very, very solid, does need to learn how to talk about feelings and how to share the things that are disappointing or frustrating, but is generally also a social, caring person who wants to help others and likes to be in flow and likes things to be pretty and likes things to be organized, but has a very determined way about how they want things done and how this person wants things done. So if it's a she, then we'd say that she is very much running the show wherever she goes. She is strongly opinionated, wants to be the leader, and can run the show. And that is provided that she feels secure and that she feels strong within herself. There's a huge outreach and desire. And obviously, with potential, it is very determined by how we are raised, how much of the insecurities of our parents hold us back, how much of them get in the way, and how much of it doesn't. So I'm thinking daughter born on the 19th of February as well, there's a different set of paradoxes with this child compared to Denise, even though they share the same day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She might say, well, we're the same day, but we're very different. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'd believe that.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the 8th of November, the child born there, and let's say that's also a daughter. Then we have someone who is very into outreach and helping and wanting to take care of people and feels very full when doing that, has a personal battle with security, wants to have a strong basis. There's this need for a strong basis. There can be unreasonable in some of the perspectives, some of the positions. And again, put them into an activist position, great. We want the lack of reason and the forthright-headed perseverance, but put them into a relationship and we want somebody who's more willing to compromise and more willing to come to the party to build a relationship and not just have it all their way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always those paradoxes for people, is that they can be so phenomenal in one area of their lives and so frustrated in others. And we see that so many times, but certainly this is a person capable of incredible medical. I'd wonder what this person is doing, because there's such a need to help others and to be in service and to take care of people and an unboundary thinking. The battle here is the distractedness. This is a person who can get distracted and has to learn to choose, because this person will be Let's say she will be so naturally good at so many things. And it's not always a great thing.
Mm.
You know, people say, wow, that's so amazing. You're so good at whatever you do. Yes, so then how do I choose direction?
Mm.
How do I choose exactly where to put my energy? And the way for this child to thrive, who's not a child, you know, today is 42 almost this year, but this woman or man will need at some point to put their energies into one direction. And when they do that, we'll be in a position to thrive the best. One or two directions, but scattered will really just feel that, scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Very briefly, before we go to the call, the 6th of September 1985 child, we're looking at somebody with a very strong set of opinions about how the world should be, how it should be directed, etc. A nurturer, a compassionate person, a very affectionate person, very caring, but very directed. This is how it should be, and why wouldn't you do that? And even a tendency with all that caring and compassion to become insensitive when threatened or frustrated and become insensitive to the needs of others and say, no, the buck stops here. This, I don't care what you think. This is not going past me. This is how I want things to be. And in the 21st of March, 1983,
Denise called and she said the November is the girl and the rest are boys.
Ah, okay. Right. Not being an oracle, it is hard to know that. Okay, thanks, Denise. So this young man, born on the 21st of March, 1983, we have somebody who's just all about getting things done, but very distractible, very distractible. So a powerhouse child with unbelievable abilities to put behind things and literally, like a rocket ship, lift them up, the power behind the rocket ship, with a tendency to get distracted. Now, we need that, don't we? Because if this was the perfect superpower child, we would find this absolute, mini deity, wouldn't we? This is just this perfect child who can do everything, is clever and capable and going. No paradoxes, no work. Why are they on planet Earth?
Mm-hmm.
We're here to grow and to contribute and to evolve and to make more of ourselves. That's what we're here for. And the bliss that comes along the way in spots and the joy that comes along the way in spots, those are the rewards of doing the right stuff. But very few people have that on an extended basis. We even find people who just say, no, I just want to play. At some point, they feel unfulfilled. Without the balance of doing productively and reaching into your capability and ability, and then celebrating with play and joy, without that balance, we seldom find fulfillment. All work, lacking fulfillment. All play, lacking fulfillment at some point. There's almost a boredom that comes with it. Well, this is just not fun anymore. I say to people often, well, what would you do if you never had to work again? Oh, I do this and I do that. And the next week, what are you going to do 3 months down the line, 4 months down the line? What will fill you? Because we have a bowl that needs to be filled. And what will keep it filled? It's an interesting question because a lot of people can't answer it.
Mm. So there we have it, Denise. Hopefully, Bev gave you a little bit more insight into all of that. And we have Belinda on the line. Good morning, Belinda. Thanks very much for holding.
Good morning, it's a pleasure. Hi, Denise. I'd just like to find out. I'd like to find out about my son.
Okay, what is your son's birth date?
It is 15 October
1994. 1994.
Yes.
Anything specific or just in general?
Pretty much in general, I think.
Okay.
He's in the trip at the moment, so it'd be just interesting to see. Yeah. Just some more insight into him as a person.
Okay, fantastic.
Thanks, Belinda. Are you going to listen on air?
Yes, sure. I can listen on air.
You can listen on air? Okay, wonderful.
All right.
Right, so...
Okay, Bev.
Let's look at Belinda's son. All right, so what comes up, obviously, right off the bat, is that this is a very interesting paradox. This child has got their own story right here. And a huge desire to be perfect with deep sensitivities about not being. Now, that's great if you're an...
That's complex.
It's very complex. But it's great if you're a parent who can see what it is. And I hope this has huge value, Belinda, because I have found with my son understanding exactly how he's made up and where his sensitivities are and where his needs are and where his needs aren't. It's put me in the most unbelievable position to assist him and guide him and gently mold him into realizing his higher potentials. And I have mentored two other people who have the exact same numeric profile as him, but are in the lower ebb of their potential. And when I look into how they were raised and what they came up against, it is so obvious they were not mentored into their higher potential. They were held back from it. And what a pity. And now they're working so hard as adults in their fourth and fifth decades to try and get that together. Mm. So when I look at Belinda's son, I can tell you that it's not as simple thing, this. It's parenting is not simple for anybody, as we know. But when you have a child who really is bent on perfection but holds himself back because they're scared they won't be perfect enough, and they fear rejection and they fear judgment, then it is our responsibility to encourage them to voice their needs, to voice their concerns, to voice their disappointment, so they don't disappear into a place where they don't try their potential, they don't risk achievement, and they don't risk failure. It's very easy to become complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And also, for a child who does not bode well with social rejection, it's easy to tend towards not trying. It's easy to tend towards not doing. Mm-hmm. Instead of pushing forward to have the opinions he has, which are strong and valuable opinions, heard. And so if he lives into his higher potential and he's encouraged to try and succeed and try and not succeed and learn from it and carry on and see it all as part of the process and allow him to be his own version of perfect now. Because there is a, not, I wouldn't say malignant, but there is almost a malignancy in the belief that there's only one perfect, and it's what the magazine says or what Hollywood says or what society says. And it's so destructive, and it eats away at people because they can't attain that, they can't realize it. And yet we find again and again the people who put that aside and say, no, I will be my own version of my best, and that's my perfect, and I'll keep trying to improve that, and the status quo is irrelevant, and I'll keep giving myself permission to redefine and regrow, and my perfect today can be lesser than my perfect 3 weeks from now, and that's okay because it's my version of me, and I don't have to wait for somebody else's permission to try, and I don't have to hold back from anyone's permission to fail, because I can get something from that can help me be a better version of myself next week. So, Belinda, with your son, the strongest I would encourage is that he tries and that you encourage him to try regardless, reminding him that whether it is a great success or not, he is enough and he's valuable and he's deserving of trying. Because if we think that we have to get it right the first time, that is a huge amount of pressure to live with. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge weight to carry. And holding ourselves back is inevitable. Because if I only get it right, if I get it right, right up front, well, then what am I if I don't? And am I enough? And am I worthy? And et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on and on. But when we can recognize that it doesn't matter if it's not right the first time. Thomas Edison didn't get the light bulb right for thousands of tries. He got it eventually. We have light today. No one even thinks about that. But if he was not willing to fail repeatedly until he got it to a point where it wouldn't pop, we might have had to wait a lot longer to
have this kind of lighting. We'd be sitting here by candlelight.
We might be. Or someone else might have had the guts to do it. But at some point, there's an energy of creativity, and people have to be willing to fail. You know, nylon is a great example of that. That fabric that we call nylon was simultaneously created in New York and London. And that's how it got NYLon as its name, right?
Oh,
surprise, Nikki.
Surprise. Oh, you I know are some just stuff. You. A wealth
Trivial
of knowledge.
Trivial Pursuit, my dear. Trivial Pursuit.
I will never go up against you. I'll be so, on your team.
Yes, we'll be on the same side. Although your oracle nature could really like.
Yeah, reckon.
Yeah, sprint us forward. So the creative energy was out there at the time, and people were willing to try, and people did try. And I promise you, around the world, there were people who tried and they didn't get that right. But forever and to this day, we have that fabric that was simultaneously created. It is an amazing thing. And so what I'm saying is there will be things he'll be able to do that will grow and it will be amazing. And some of it won't be. And so what?
Mm.
But without that spirit, that willingness to be creative, that willingness to press ourselves, that willingness to finish things and have an opinion of it. No one asks for another person's opinion unless they think it's great. So the danger of that is that if I say to you, what do you think of this picture? It's because I've done it, I've worked on it, and I really think it's great. And I want you to say, yeah, it's fantastic. If I'm scared that you'll say, well, are you finished it yet? I don't really like it. Mm. I might never finish anything and I might never show it to you. And so all I'm encouraging in that regard, whether it's sport, academics, the way he dresses because he likes to look good, etc., whatever it is, encourage him to be willing to be himself, because there's a self there that will need to come out for him to reach his full potential. And it might not be what society says is okay, and it might not be what society is comfortable with. He might not want to be the accountant, attorney, doctor. He might want to be something very different, and he'll need the courage to pursue that, to reach his potential in it and be brilliant at it.
That's a lot to think about, Belinda. Lots to think about.
Yeah.
And wonderful guides. Thank you for that. Thanks, Bev. We're going to take a break, and after the break, because we've had so many SMSs come in, let's look at our first SMS that came in the 15th of September, 1972.
This is In Your Element with Nikki Sabarini on 101.9 IFM.
Thank you so much for staying with us. We have self-esteem engineer Bev Malun in the studio, as we do every Friday between 9:30 and 10. So, Bev, we were looking at the 15th of September, 1972.
Okay. So, 15th of September, 1972, and we have somebody who has similar stuff going on to Belinda's son in certain ways. Mm-hmm. But biggest work here that comes up, the need to share disappointment. That's where this person could be held back. This person
to
is
share
my
disappointment.
Age almost.
Okay.
Yes. So this is a 39-year-old person moving into the 40th completed year. And we have somebody here who really is lovely, affectionate, compassionate, generous, and closely knit to the people that they're close with. Opinionated and wanting to be the leader, wanting to take direction, and fearing not being perfect. Now here we go again, you know. So how's that working for you? You know, that's my favorite line in self-esteem engineering. I don't care what you do. I just want to know, how's it working for you? Is it serving of you? Is it building you? Does your relationship thrive? Are you achieving more? Are you doing more? What's happening? What's happening out there? Mm-hmm. Is it working for you? And so definitely the work that comes up here to highlight before we go through to somebody else is the need to be honest. There is an unwillingness to be open about what's really going on under the sea. You know, this person is hiding things from themselves and from others by living in this space of trying to be something that maybe they're not yet. And if they are living in a higher potential, then we have someone unafraid of public scrutiny, unafraid of the boundaries that are supposedly set, thinking into the space of what's possible for them. And even though it hasn't been done yet, does not make it impossible. Let's just remember that. Just because something hasn't been done yet does not deem it impossible. It just means it hasn't been done yet. Impossible is almost a word people hold on to justify their insecurities. Whereas you can leap beyond that and say, I want to be stuck in what's possible. I want to be in what's done. I want to see if this can be done. Mm. I want to try this. Mm. I want to push for this. Let's see. So with this person, I'm going to strongly encourage you to ask yourself how often you are honest with exactly what you're feeling in a moment. Because this is exactly the kind of child who might have been seen as withdrawing or sulking. The word I wish would be taken out of every language dictionary, sulking. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a sulking person. There is only people so completely overwhelmed by disappointment in the moment that they cannot articulate their need. And they withdraw into this abyss of disappointment, hurt, or pain, trying to figure out how to survive it, trying to figure out how to come through it, trying to see if they could survive saying what they're really feeling, because they have this fear of a relationship ending, changing, of retribution, of rejection, etc. But the more we learn to live with being honest with our disappointments and standing up for them, I don't give you permission to speak to me like that. I don't deserve to be spoken to like that. I will not engage in relationship with somebody who doesn't value my time. And I'm seeing it. I see it with my son in an exquisite way. At 11 years old, he's having the courage to live in a way where he can identify, regardless of who the person is, whether it's me or anybody else, it makes no difference. He's able to identify where his disappointments are, where he does not feel fulfilled, where he does not feel his time is honored, and choose differently. Choose to rather not engage with people and be alone and content with himself, then risk wasting the time or spending the time instead of investing the time to be with people who don't honor and value him being there. And that's an exquisite thing to get right at a young age.
Sure, it's amazing.
It took me decades to get that right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there are people.
And I want to touch on that because I spend a lot of time watching other people. And I know what I've done and I know where I wasn't fulfilled. But I see people moving from one coffee to the next, one tea to the next, one connect to the next, one lunch to the next. But they're not all fulfilling connections, but it fills the time. And I'm just wondering how often we take the time to look at who we are spending time with and making certain that expenditure is an investment. If you do not leave the interaction you're having with somebody feeling fuller because you had it and more than you were before, that time was spent. If you spend time with somebody and you leave that interaction feeling fuller, more enthused, more of yourself, with more to offer the world, it was invested. And I caution people to be careful that they encourage their children to spend their time rather than invest it. We shouldn't be too afraid of being on our own sometimes. We shouldn't be too afraid of encouraging our children to get to know themselves by being on their own sometimes, rather than just hanging with a crowd so they're with people.
Or busy.
Just doing this or just doing that, but it's not filling them up. Because we can only reach our fuller potential with a fullness energy. I've never met anybody who woke up feeling empty, who had a huge amount to give that day. But I've met many people who wake up feeling full or know how to resource that fullness, who have a fortune to give to themselves and the world.
Thank you for that, Bev. Beautiful. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And for all of you who send through your SMSs, we thank you for the SMSs. Please continue with them next week. Bev will be in the studio. We have limited time, but hopefully Bev will be able to do your numbers next week. So join us again next week.
May I say,
please.
I'm actually going to do a talk one of these evenings. I'm going to be setting it up in the next few weeks.
Going to be. Do we know specifics?
We don't have a specific date, but I'm putting it out there so people can watch out for it and they can look on my Facebook pages or whatever, but I want to do a profiling evening that is just about what we do on air.
Oh, lovely.
That people can come with their birthdays, their relationships, etc., and we'll just have hours of profiling.
Yay, yay.
Will you let us know? Good evening.
Will you let us know, please, Bev?
Yes.
Fantastic. Bev Malone,
thank you.
Self-esteem engineer, back with us same time next Friday between 9:30 and 10 o'clock.